Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about prophetic preservation and prophetic declarations, and we're going to be looking at some of the Old Testament prophecies of the coming of Jesus Christ, our Messiah, and just how prophecy in the New Covenant, the New Testament, how that prophecy preserves us. It preserves us and it saves us. It prepares us for the difficulties and the struggles, the trials and tribulations of this life. It gives us hope for the future. It builds our faith. It strengthens our walk and builds our faith. And so prophetic declaration and prophetic vision lead to preservation for the body of Christ, for you as an individual, and also for us as believers, as a body, for our nation, for our families, for our communities. And so we're going to be speaking about prophetic declaration. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, "Where there is no revelation or no prophetic vision, the people are unrestrained. But happy is he who keeps the law." And what the writer Solomon of Proverbs is saying here is that where there is no vision for the future, then hope dies. Where there is no prophetic vision and no declaration of the future and the promise of the future, then hope dies and people become unrestrained. In other words, they become lawless, they become unruly, they have no restraint in their behavior, and as a result of that, their attitude then becomes, let's just live for the moment, let's just get all the gusto that we can out of life, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And so the people become unrestrained, and that's what you see happening in America, that's what you see happening in many countries around the world. The people have no hope for the future. They don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They don't know about the salvation of God. And if they do, they've denied it. And so their behavior becomes, in a sense, like a wild animal. Their behavior becomes very unrestrained. They have no restraint to keep them abiding by the law. The last part of that scripture, "But happy is he who keeps the law." In other words, the Lord says, "I'm going to bless you when you keep the law. I'm going to bless you, and when you keep my commandments, not only my commandments, then you'll have no problem keeping the law of man, abiding by the laws of man." And here, certainly in the United States, where we have constitutional law that is based on the Ten Commandments, we have a law that is based on God's plan for man and how man should govern himself here on this earth. And so it should be very easy, if we keep God's laws, if we understand the will of God, it should be very easy for us to keep man's laws. Happy is he who keeps the law. Well, Amos 3:7, I'm going to speak just a minute about a prophecy and its place here for us as New Testament believers. Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the Lord does nothing unless he first reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets." And so the Lord has plans. The Lord decrees over people. The Lord decrees over nations. He decrees judgment over people. He decrees judgment over nations. He decrees judgment over individuals. And he decrees blessings over individuals and his mercy and his grace. And so the prophet Amos said, "Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets." And God has his servants, the prophets, in place here right now in America. He has his servants and prophets in other nations around the world. A part of the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4:11 is the office of prophet, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And so the prophet is listed there as one of the fivefold, or one of the office gifts given to the body of Christ. And so the Lord shares with his prophets, and so the prophets have a vision for the future. Those of you who listened to my radio broadcast the last 3 weeks, you know I've spoken about many prophetic dreams that the Lord has given me, the dreams for America, a dream of terrorist attack, dream of famine, a follow-up to a dream of famine and other dreams that the Lord has given me. And so I want you to go to my website, gatheroutheoutcasts.com, if you've not listened to those messages, and listen to those prophetic dreams, because the Lord showed me those dreams and He shared those with me so that I could share them with the body of Christ, so I could warn people and tell people to be ready, that these things are coming. It's not going to be business as usual here in America. It's not going to be business as usual anywhere in the world. And God shared those dreams with me so that I could warn and tell the body of Christ, so that they could be warned and know what is coming. Well, of course, the most important way to be prepared for what is coming, for whatever calamity is coming, or whatever judgment has been pronounced on America, the most important way to be prepared is that you be prepared spiritually, so that if your day comes, when this is your last day and you have to be a martyr, or you choose to be a martyr, or you're in a building that maybe is taken down by terrorists, God forbid, but whatever comes your way, whatever comes upon you, that you will be prepared spiritually to meet your Maker on that day. And so as you listen to this message and the Lord is sharing His secrets to the servants, the prophets, and the prophets are speaking out, the prophets are saying what they've seen, you make sure in your own life, if you're listening to me today, you make sure in your own life that you are prepared to meet your Maker on any given day in your life, whether it be today, whether it be tomorrow, whether it be 5 or 10 years from now, or whatever comes your way, that you be prepared and that you no longer fear death, because you know without any uncertainty, just as sure as you're listening to me today, you know that you are going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to be with Him for all eternity, the moment, the second, the very second that you close your eyes here on this earth, that you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in Genesis 3, we see the first prophecy spoken about our Lord and Savior when God spoke to the serpent in Genesis 3, verse 14, and He said, "Because you have done this," that He's talking about the fall of Adam and Eve, "because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." And then in Genesis 3:15 comes the prophecy of the coming Messiah. And God spoke to the serpent. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." He was speaking of Jesus Christ as being her seed. And He said, "He," that is, her seed, Jesus, "shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In other words, what God was speaking in this prophecy was that Jesus would be bruised on the heel by the serpent, that is, by the devil. But the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would then crush the serpent's head. He would crush the serpent. He would step on the serpent's head and finish the serpent off. Well, in Numbers 21, verse 5, one of the great Old Testament passages that speak about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in Numbers 21, if you have your Bible there, turn it to 21:5. "And the people spoke against God." This is when the people were out in the wilderness, and Moses was leading them in the wilderness. Eventually they would end up in the Promised Land. And it said, "And the people spoke against God and against Moses. And they said, 'Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread.'" Well, they were speaking about the manna. "Their soul loathes this worthless bread." And so in verse 6, "The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. And therefore the people came to Moses, and they said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you, and pray to the Lord that He will take the serpents away from us.'" So Moses prayed for the people. And verse 8, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. And so Moses made a bronze serpent, and he put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent on the pole, he lived. Well, this is a picture, beloved, of our coming Messiah that was spoken in Numbers 21. This is a picture of Jesus Christ. And there's many things of significance in this passage of Scripture. I'm going to highlight just a few of them. First of all, the people were in rebellion to their God. In Numbers 21:5, the people spoke against God and against Moses. Well, beloved, we all have that rebel streak within us. I had a rebel streak, still do to some extent, but it's not near as bad as it used to be. But we all have a rebel streak within us. We want to rebel against God. We want to take control of our own destiny, and we want to do things our own way. And this is mankind's nature, to be selfish and to do things our own way. And so the people demonstrated what we've all demonstrated in our life, and that is we have a spirit of rebellion within us that we're all born with. We all want to do things our way and be selfish and experiment with the dark side of life and walk down that dark side. It's almost inevitable that you see people do that, because every single person, maybe there's a few that are exceptions to this, but just about every single person has to experience that dark side of life and has to rebel against the Lord in some way or some fashion in their life. And so these people were speaking against God. They were speaking against God's plan for their life. The very fact that they were out in the wilderness area in the first place was because they had rebelled about wanting to go into the promised land, and God showed them the promised land, but 10 of the 12 spies spoke against it. 10 of the 12 spies didn't have the faith to go, and so God said, okay, I'm going to take you out into the promised land, and I'm going to let this old generation, the faithless generation, I'm going to let them die off, and I'm only going to take the youngsters, that young generation, into the promised land. And not even Moses himself was allowed to go in, just Caleb and Joshua of the older generation. And so when you speak against God, you are going to pay a price for it. When you rebel against God, you're going to pay a price for it. So what you need to do, what we all need to do, is we need to understand and come to know God's will. And we need to get in agreement with it. We need to lay down our foolish pride and our stubbornness and our selfishness and our rebellious spirit, and speak against that rebellious spirit and say, God, you show me what you want me to do. You show me, and you bring me alongside, and you give me the strength, and you give me the faith to walk along with you to do those things that I need to do to walk with you and to bring glory and honor to you in my life here on this earth. And so as they spoke against Moses then, and they spoke against the will of God, they even cursed the bread that he was supplying to them. They cursed, there was no water, and the worthless bread. And so the Lord himself, in verse 6, the Lord himself sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. And so God himself can design and inflict calamity upon us. He does inflict it himself, but he allows the devil to inflict it upon us. He does this so that we will come back to him. He does this so it will strengthen our faith. He does this so we will see the futility of our own rebellion, the futility of doing things our way. And so God allows trials and tests, and maybe sometimes pain, maybe sometimes suffering and calamity, to come into our life to straighten us out and to put us on our knees and to bring us back to him. Hebrews 12:5 says this, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. And so Do not consider it unusual, beloved. Do not consider it something strange when the Lord, when you feel like the Lord is disciplining you, when you feel like the Lord is chastening you. He's not singling you out to receive something that no one else on the earth is receiving. We all receive chastening. We all receive pain at some time through physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual separation from God. And so God brings us back to Him, and He disciplines us because He loves us. Because of His great love for you, He brings us back, and He disciplines, and He chastens us for our own well-being. And so God sent the fiery serpents, it says verse 6, back in Numbers 21. The Lord sent the fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us." So this is a good example for us. This is a picture of repentance, that the people actually cried out to the Lord and they took ownership, they took responsibility for their sin. And they said to Moses, the very person that they'd cursed and said, "We don't want to follow you anymore, Moses, we're speaking against you." Now they're coming back to Moses and they're repenting of their sins. The pain in their life was great enough. They were getting tired of being bit by the serpent and seeing their brothers and sisters die by the serpent bites. And so they cried out to the Lord and they said, "Moses, pray for us, intercede for us, for we know we have sinned." And so this is a picture when we become aware of the fact that we're sinners, when we're aware of the fact that without God we can't overcome sin, we can't overcome temptation, we can't overcome those weaknesses that we are born with, that rebellious nature that we were born with. Without God's strength, without His mercy and His grace, we cannot overcome these things. But by God's grace, by His mercy, by His strength, by the Holy Spirit living within us, we can overcome these things. And we have to repent of our sins, that is, turn from our wicked ways, take responsibility and ownership for our sins, return back to the Lord, and God then will provide us a way to come to know Him. God will then provide us a way that our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. God then provides a way for us to be reconciled back to Him, and our sin no longer separates us from God. And so in verse 8, the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that anyone who is bitten, when he looks at the pole, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent, he put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. And so this bronze serpent was a picture, beloved. It was a prophetic picture of our coming Messiah, of Jesus Christ. And when you get bit by the serpent, when the devil is harassing you, when the devil is trying to take you down and tell you that you're a nothing and you're a nobody, and so you might as well live for today and get all the gusto that you can. And when the devil causes you to sin, when the devil causes you to give in to temptation, if you look to the bronze serpent, if you look to Jesus Christ, that bronze serpent on the pole, if you look to Him and you repent of your sins, then God is faithful and true, and He provides a way through the blood of Jesus for you to be reconciled back to God. Well, John 3:14, he said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." And in John 3:16, that passage that we all know, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, through Him, through Jesus, might be saved." And so Jesus said that, "I am that bronze serpent. I am that which will be lifted up." And Jesus said, "The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Well, that is a great comforting message to us. If we look to the bronze serpent, if we look to Jesus Christ, no matter what the devil is trying to do to us, if we look to Jesus, we will be saved because the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cover all of our sins. The power of Jesus is sufficient to heal us from our sicknesses, from our emotional wounds, from our wounding and our breakdowns. And the blood of Jesus is sufficient to strengthen us and cover us in every situation and protect us in every situation. And so the blood of Jesus is sufficient to reconcile us back to God. As you walk through your life here on this earth, you know that Jesus is the answer to every situation that you are in. You will know that Jesus is the answer to every trial, every problem. That's not to say you may not need doctors. It's not to say you may not need counselors. It's not to say you might not need people to help you get through your life and through your problems and pray with you and encourage you. But ultimately, Jesus Christ has to be lifted up in your life. Ultimately, Jesus Christ is the one that can save you from your sins. The blood of Jesus can save you from your sins and reconcile you back to God. Well, as we think about the Messiah and he was given to us, and we celebrate in this time, in this season, Jesus as our Lord and Savior, born in a manger in Bethlehem, as we think about how Jesus came to this earth for 33 years to minister to us and to minister to the people in that place, that he showed those people what it is to be God. He showed those people what it is to be not only man and have the humanity of man, but also he showed the people, this is what it's like to live a godly life. This is what it's like to deny yourself, to pick up your cross. This is what it's like to know that God is with you every step of the way. Well, in Matthew 1, verse 21, the prophetic word spoken to Joseph, the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph and said, "She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." Well, all through the scripture, God gave prophetic words about his son, Jesus Christ. God gave prophetic vision to people, letting them know that a Messiah was coming, that there would be a way for people to be reconciled back to God. There would be a solution to the dilemma of how do we get over this life of sin? How do we be reconciled back to God and have our sins covered? And in Isaiah 9, of course, Isaiah spoke about this coming Messiah. Isaiah spoke about this coming child. And he said in Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Well, praise God, the zeal of the Lord of hosts is still performing it this day, 2015, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. And we have with us the government that was established by the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and there will be no end to his government. And you can be a part of that government. You can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you can know that your sins are covered, that you can be reconciled back to God, that you can know the love of the Savior, the love of the Messiah, and you can do that today. All you have to do is say yes to Jesus and yes to a walk with him. Well, I thank you for listening today. I thank you for your support. If you've not contacted Gather the Outcast Ministry, I pray that you do that. We need to hear from you. We are a listener-supported radio ministry, And we enjoy bringing these broadcasts to you, but we need to hear from you. We have a great book offer going. If you contact us now, we'll send you a free book for a donation, give you a free book, Gather the Outcasts, Reaching the Lost in Africa, telling of the Africa Crusades and missions of the past 5 years. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.